We're trusting in you right now, Father. You'll bless the word of God as it goes forth. Give us exactly what you would have us to have. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord. How faithful you are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Our study today is going to be in Revelation, the 14th chapter. We just covered the part that was about the 144,000 appearing in heaven. And we're going to be going now into the latter part of that. But before we get to that, I want us to turn to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. The latter part of that chapter that we're going to be studying has a lot to talk about the Antichrist. We call him the Antichrist. He's called the beast there. But and also about the coming of Jesus and things like that when Christ comes in power and glory. So we're going to go to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and just read a few verses here, starting with verse 1 of chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the comings of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit. Now that's the devil, you know, the devil spirit. He's always trying to hinder us. Nor by word, no matter what is said or what is proclaimed that is not true. Nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Praise the Lord. The day of Christ is at hand. Praise the Lord. It means the time that Jesus Christ is going to take his throne. He's going to come back again. When he comes back, you know what he's doing right now, don't you? Where is he sitting right now? At the right hand of his Father God. See, he doesn't have the full authority right now. He's our interceder, the Bible says. He intercedes for us at the right hand of God. But praise the Lord, when he comes back, he will have his throne. He will be reigning. Praise the Lord. So as it says there, nor by letter as from us as the day of Christ is at hand. In other words, what he's saying is, don't let anybody or anything distract you. Jesus Christ is coming. I'm telling you, I never felt it so much in all my life. And I have been taught this all my life. You all know that. When I was 5 years old, I received Christ because my dad was preaching on the mark of the beast. I went and prayed by myself. The Lord has saved me. And I was an innocent child. You know, we were read the scripture all the time. But I'm telling you what, now I feel it with all my heart that Jesus is coming. Just look around you. I mean, this United States is vile. We're getting terrible. You know, this week, I believe it was one of the law colleges, and I can't remember the name right now, but a bunch of Christian people who were going to college there got off and went. They were going to have a meeting in a public place there on the campus that they could have a meeting. And what does the rest of the group do? Come and persecute them. The people that don't believe in Christ that are there going to school, they don't want Christ on the campus. And they came and began to persecute them, not allowing them to have their service. This is the world we're living in. Oh, my goodness, what a world. The day of Christ is at hand, the time when Christ will reign on his throne. This right now is man's day. God's letting man govern himself and get in trouble and all the things, trying to show mankind that he can't do all of this by himself. But one of these days, it's going to be the Lord's day, and judgment is going to come on this world. Praise the Lord. We have the privilege of looking up and being ready for the coming of Jesus. In Revelation 4, we see Jesus Christ sitting on his throne. You remember that? And the overcomers all around him that have been translated, taken off to heaven, are there in the presence of the Lord. What a beautiful thing to know the truth about the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Do you remember that when Jesus was on the throne that Pilate put a sign up on the top of his cross? What did the sign say? This is the King of the Jews. That's what it said in three different languages. This is the King of the Jews. They didn't like that. The Jews were saying, take it down, take it down. We don't want to hear that. But one of these days, he's going to come as the king of this world. And they can say all they want to, and in turning from him, but he's going to judge this world. Praise the Lord. He's going to be the King of the Jews. So at this point in our study here in the book of Revelation, we are in the tribulation of the 7 years and the judgment. So we're going to turn our Bibles now to Revelation, the 14th chapter. You probably already have it, but you go there. And we've already seen that the 144,000 Jews are in heaven with the Lord. And then we are going to begin right down here at verse 6 of chapter 14 of Revelation. And he says, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Now, this is during the tribulation. The 144,000 are taken up during that first half of the tribulation before the Antichrist appears. And so, I mean, he will be here, but he dies, you know, he gets killed, and then he comes back to life just before the middle of that 7 years of tribulation. But then we see that the angel of God, and whether this is really an angel, because the word, you know, angel is mistranslated a lot of times, should have the meaning of a messenger instead of angel. But anyway, this being flies through the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach. So that message of salvation is going to go out again. Now, how patient God is. I mean, this is the tribulation already of the 7 years, and yet he's going to send forth this angel that will preach the gospel of salvation so people can be saved if they would be. This is an everlasting gospel, see? Preach it unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. They won't be able to say, well, I don't understand. They're talking in Greek. I don't understand. They will understand it exactly. And there will be people who believe. Those people who believe during the tribulation will have to stay here on the earth. The translation and the deliverance into heaven has already been taken care of for the church. And so they will live here on the earth. Many of them will be martyred. But when they receive Christ as their Savior, see how gracious God is? Even though they've rejected him in this age we live in the tribulation time of 7 years, he's going to just keep giving them opportunities. Just keep sending angels through the air witnessing about the salvation. And notice in verse 7, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the foundations of water. Isn't that the message of the world today? God didn't create the earth. God, there is no God. That's the majority of the world today believes that this all just happened. Right now, they're really studying the UFOs. I'm wondering what they are, too. Are you? Maybe they're angels that have come down that have warned people that there's something else besides what they think of. We don't know. They may be devilish just to get people's minds off of God. But anyway, praise the Lord. God is working. He is working. He is trying to speak to people. We all have an opportunity to hear. See, we've all had an opportunity to hear. Aren't we blessed? We're so blessed that we know the word, that we've heard the word of God taught us over the years. We're going to go on to verse 8 right now, and then we're going to, we'll go on to verse 9. We're going to go back to verse 8 when we get to that subject later on, okay? So in verse 9, The third angel, see now these are different angels that are coming forth into the earth and are doing things. This third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if a man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Now I want you to notice what took place right there. In the sixth verse, what was the angel saying? He was saying, receive the Lord. We're preaching the gospel to every nation, kindred, and tongue. In this verse, he is saying with a loud voice, if you worship the beast, you're going to be punished for this. God is going to judge you for this. See? Isn't that interesting? He's given them a chance to receive, and then he warns them that they better believe. Yes. So if any man worship the beast, that's another name we also have in the other places, especially in the book of 1 John. He several times calls him the Antichrist. The Antichrist, against Christ. That's what this old beast is. But isn't beast a good name for him, isn't he? He's not the lamb, he's the beast. I like that. He's a man that's evil. He's a man that will kill people if they don't worship him. And during that time, they're going to behead people, have guillotines and behead people. So, if any man worships that beast in his image and receives a mark in his forehead or in his hand, imagine that. Imagine showing up your hand at the store and say, okay, I'm going to buy groceries. Isn't that something? Or let them see the mark on your forehead so that you could purchase something. That's what we find in other of these scriptures. Notice the same, those people who do that, who follow this old Antichrist and receive him instead of Jesus, they will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is not going to be just little dribbled out. You know, sometimes God allows a tragedy. And we've seen it happen where people get killed in accidents and maybe whole bunches of people, like in Kentucky, there that water has come down and just killed little children and babies. And we just think, oh my, how awful and how terrible. But when that Antichrist is here on the earth and people are following that Antichrist, boy, there is going to be some great wrath of God poured out without mixture, he says. Not going to be partly nice and partly bad. It's going to be terribly bad. Terribly, terribly bad. And judgment coming on them. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Those people that take that mark of the beast, they may think, oh, he's such a wonderful man. Oh, look at him. Oh, he's just so nice to be around. And oh, he has our interests. He really does. He wants to help us. We're all going to be one nation, and we're all going to have plenty, and we're just going to be so blessed under this horrible man. Don't think of him as horrible. But all of those who take that mark and who worship that man are going to be tormented with fire and brimstone. They're going to be in the lake of fire forever for doing that. Isn't it an awful thing to think of? In chapter 19, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes down, he's going to take the Antichrist and the false prophet and throw them into the lake of fire, is what it says in the latter part of that chapter. They get in the lake of fire before the devil does. Do you know that? The devil goes into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years and then is thrown in the lake of fire forever. But God hates these two, the false prophet and the Antichrist. So verse 11, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. There will be no rest. The worship of the beast is going to be judged. back in chapter 13, verse 4. Let's look back there. Go to chapter 13, verse 4. Here, talking about the Antichrist again, the beast. It says in verse 3 that he's going to have a death wound that will be a deadly wound, and he will be healed from that. And when that happens, the whole world will just marvel after him, as it says here. And all the world marveled after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon, that's Satan, which gave power to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Oh, he's so wonderful. Isn't that deceiving? That's the devil. He's deceiving them. Praise the Lord that God is going to deliver, and all of those who worship that man are going to be punished greatly. We're praising the Lord for that. We don't like the thought of them being punished. I mean, wish that they wouldn't. I wish they would receive the Lord and not be punished, but they seem to, there's going to be people that just go their way. They're not going to receive Christ. They're just going to keep on doing it. Verse 10 there, where it says brimstone, that in the original Greek says fiery sulfur. Fiery sulfur. So, you know, that's speaking of the lake of fire that just burns and burns and burns and burns, okay? Verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. That's a kind of a strange thing, isn't it, to say, here is the patience of the saints. What is he talking about? I think it is like knowing that God is going to judge these wicked people. He's going to take care of this. It's going to happen, but it's not up to us to take care of it. He's going to take care of it. The Antichrist and the false prophet are going to be thrown in the lake of fire. They're going to be punished greatly because of the wickedness of them. And all of those people that take that mark are going to be, oh boy, they are going to die, and they are going to be greatly punished. They have denied salvation at that point. And so he just says, this causes should be a cause of the saints to be patient. Patience is one of the hardest things for us. You know that? I'm sure that everybody here can say that it's hard to be patient about something, especially something you really care about, and it just keeps going on and on and on and on. But, you know, the world is so wicked right now. I think that every one of us need to realize how near we are the coming of Jesus. It's important. This is so important that we put Jesus first in our life and look up to him and be ready for the coming of the Lord. Verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Now, he's talking about the tribulation here. There are people that are believers in Christ. They're going to be martyred. They're going to be martyred for Christ because the Antichrist is going to have his mark, and he's going to want them to take that, and when they don't take it, he's going to kill them. He's going to actually behead them. I just said that a while ago. So anyway, that's what he's talking about. But praise the Lord. Those people are blessed. Just think of that, to deny the Antichrist and have heaven. They're going to not believe in him, and they are going to be heaven bound when they get slain because of that, when they are chopped, their head chopped off, the Bible talks about. They are going to be instantly in the presence of the Lord. Isn't that beautiful to think about? Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Says that they may rest from their labors. It's going to be hard. The tribulation is not going to be a fun time. I wouldn't want anybody to go into it, not even a part of it. It's going to be a time of, we think it's bad in the United States right now. Maybe people just go around shooting other people in these big cities, and it'll come our way. This is the world that we're living in. It's of Satan's power to get people to do bad things. Praise the Lord, but Lord Jesus is going to come, and he's going to reward those that suffer. Verse 14, I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. So this sharp sickle is an instrument of judgment, and he's going to bring the judgment on this world. Now, it says here, this is a vision in my Bible. It says vision of Armageddon. You know, I don't know how many of you know this, so I'll just tell you. At the end of the tribulation, the nations of the world are going to gather together where Israel is here on the map. Right up here is a valley. It's called Megiddo. And the Bible declares that that's where there's going to be a great battle. The nations of the world will come together, and when they do that, they're going to fight. I think they're actually fighting one another, the north fighting the south there. But, you know, at that point, that's when the Lord is going to come down. Behold, a white cloud. He's going to come on this cloud. He's going to sit like right there, and he is going to have this sharp sickle in his hand. He is going to judge this world and all of those there. He's going to have a great slaughter. The Bible says, and I can't remember if it's right here in my text, but it says that the blood will run clear to the horse's bridle. That's on down. That's verse 20. This will be such a terrible slaughter. This is called the Battle of Armageddon. If you've heard that, that's what I'm talking about, that Jesus Christ is going to come in this manner and with that sword in his hand. Verse 15, another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire. And he cried with a loud voice, loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in the sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. This is speaking of the evil. The evil, people that think they're religious, they have this religion that will protect them, this religion that will keep them. It's going to be mighty and great, but the Lord is going to thrust in that sickle, and he's going to reap this earth. Verse 18 there, I wrote in my notes, their terrible sins and their disobedience to God is fully ripe. As you look around at the world today, it's not the same place I lived in when I was a child. You know that? And I think you could probably say that about yourself. But it isn't the same. There's so much more evil. There's so much more stuff going on that people think is right. And people don't attend churches like they used to. I can remember when churches were full. And it's not happening now. So we are in the end time. There are terrible sins and disobedience to God. So many people that don't know the Lord. We don't have Billy Graham anymore to go and preach in the stadiums and get people saved. I know that there are evangelists that the Lord is blessing, and there are people being saved, but it's not the same as it was. And then let's read verse 19. The angel thrusts in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into a great winepress of the wrath of God. So this shows us that the clusters of the vine of the earth in verse 18, it's not speaking of something good, it's speaking of something bad. that the earth has just got its own fruit. It's just doing its own thing. It doesn't care what God says. It doesn't care what the Bible says. It's going to do it, and it's going to be happy. It's going to have happiness. That's what they want, is happiness, regardless of what it costs to them. And we see so much of that in the earth today. And so the angel of the Lord is going to thrust in his sickle and just do away with this. And the winepress was trodden without the city. And this is speaking of the Battle of Armageddon, actually, because other places we have a reference of this battle that's going to be so great and so many killed. The winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even in the horse's bridle, for the space of 1,600 furlongs. You want to figure that out? Maybe I'm wrong, but I like to figure out things, you know. So I checked it out, how much a furlong is. According to my text, it is 582 feet. And I multiplied that out, and it says 931,200 feet. But that's how far the blood will run. That's horrible. I am so thankful I'm not going to be here. I'm glad that I'm redeemed. I'm glad that I'm looking for Christ coming at any moment. Praise the Lord. And if I leave this life one of these days, I'm going to be victorious. Glory to God. He's my Lord, my strength. He's precious. I'm looking forward to seeing him. Hallelujah. So that's the lesson for today. And let's see, I have a little bit of time, so I'm just going to read to you some things. If you would like to start reading in the book of Joel, chapter 3, you know, the Old Testament prophets often prophesied of things that would happen in the end time. And in verse 11, he says, "Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen. Gather yourselves together around about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord." That's what's going to happen at Armageddon. They're going to have a great big battle set up, and the Lord God is going to come down. Verse 12 says, "Let the heathen be wakened and come to the valley of Jehoshaphat." And this valley is very near to Jerusalem, and it's the valley of Armageddon, or Mageddon, they call it. And he says, "For there will I set to judge all the heathen around about." And verse 13, "Put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come and get you down, for the press is full, and the fats overflow, for their wickedness is great." And then he says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of division." The valley of decision. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. In other words, we're very near the coming of Jesus than the day of the Lord. That's what it means. And people put it off, but it's very near. "The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heaven and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel." And remember, we had a couple of weeks ago about the remnant of Israel, how they will flee to the wilderness and be safe. God will protect them.